You're listening to a download from theoutdoorstation.co.uk. Number 465.
Hello and welcome back to the Outdoor Station and part two of the three-part Sky Trail series. We pick this up on day three, breaking camp at Cladach y Glynny, where Glen Scaladal runs out into the sea after another wet night. There was still a couple of kilometres to go before Camosunary Bothy, and once again some of the path sections proved to be very close to the cliff edge, which, as we were wearing slippery waterproofs and carrying packs, made the wet progress very slow and deliberate. That's the sound of Rose wiping the tent down. At least she can do, considering I put it up. Wiping the water off it once again. Actually, a lovely calm night as regards the wind, so that was reassuring. We both had a reasonable night's sleep, but the moment we woke up, it started raining again. And visibility hasn't really improved. However, Peter, I can tell you I can see the base of the Coolins Ridge, or at least where they join the water on the other side. But the cloud is very, very low. It can't be more than 100 metres, perhaps 100 metres above. Looking up, in fact, the hills surrounding us are shrouded in cloud. So, yeah, it's another murky day, unfortunately. And it's times like this, after 3 days now camping, and it's continually wet and miserable, it's just so hard to maintain a positive attitude to what we're doing. Certainly the walk now to the Sligahan Hotel, I'm told, is about 5 hours, and it's just going to be a boggy trudge, I believe, with the wind at our back the whole way, and the wind is certainly picking up. When I looked at the forecast yesterday, it was 20 mile an hour winds today, so you can say we're not looking forward to another day, but it's a shame because the scenery is absolutely spectacular. If only I could see it! The next bit of the walk is another hairy cliff path for about a kilometre, I think, and then it all levels out and gets very safe. So we're planning to go to Camosunary and have breakfast there, get some porridge on the go, warm our spirits and souls, and then hopefully be set for the rest of the day before we get to the hotel. So that's our morning report from the beach, where the waves are choppy, the stones are rattling, the cloud is low, and the sheep are staring down at me going, "What the hell are you doing? Come on, Rose, hurry up and clean that tent, please. Thank you." I know, it's a lot of water, isn't it?
I can't reach the very tip apex.
Well, it makes a difference.
Yeah, you can do that.
The sponge works so much better than the J cloth. Well, God bless the Mountain Bothers Association. Whew. And here we are on a fantastic two large room bothy. Second room's got sleeping platforms in it, top and bottom. Probably take best part of, 15 people, something like that. Two glorious windows looking out over the bay and the weather, which is pretty impressive. So we set off at, what time is it now? So we set off at 8:30 and it's 9:40 now. And I think in places, do you reckon that was another 9 out of 10? Scary walks in places?
Yeah, a couple of places it was 11. But, yeah.
Yeah, we were just wondering whether it's just our age or the experience of me falling down that bank that's actually made us more nervous and apprehensive. But I have to say, there was a couple of places it was just sheer straight down, and you're not talking more than 6 inches between your foot. and fresh air. The rest of it was, well, because of the nature of the weather, the rest of it was just really muddy and slippy, so you had to check every foot, every stone, because obviously the path's extremely stony, and some stones your foot goes on and they're solid, and some stones and your foot slips. It's just the nature of the beast. So we're glad to be here, and as you can hear, Rose is going through her food stash to get out as much porridge, tea, powdered milk, dried fruit, biscuits as possible. So we're going to have a long breakfast now, fortify ourselves, and then head here from Camasunary up to Sligahan Hotel. Now, the body that we're in, I think, is the new body. I'm looking across the bay. There's a white tin-roofed building, and I presume that's the old body. And just as an aside, if you like romantic stories, check out the Mountain podcast, or I think it's just called Mountain Podcast. It's done by a chap called Chris, I believe. But one of his first podcasts was about Camasunary body. And it's a lovely story a story that he picked up basically from a long time ago, I think the 60s or 70s, where a guy, Scots guy, was out doing the mountains, and he met this young, I think she was Swedish, girl who had sort of just come away for a few days to escape. And the story developed and the romance develops, and it's just a short thing, and then they part, never to see each other again. But the story has a conclusion. But it is a lovely crafted podcast. So if you're into the romance of somewhere like this and these sort of stories, then do check that out if it's still there, Mountain Podcast. Right, gas on, let's go. Just turned 1 o'clock, and I think according to the map we're about halfway between the body, Camasunary body, and the Sligahan Hotel. Sligahan, I think it's Sligahan. And as you can probably hear underfoot, it is exceedingly wet, and we've had about an hour of no rain, but strangely enough there seems to be a dark storm cloud following us, and we're actually walking into one as well, so it's quite interesting. And in between there was a little burst of sunshine, which was just weird. But thanks to the recent weather, the rain has topped up all the burns, and the burns have topped up all the paths, and consequently, as you can probably hear, I'm spending most of my time almost ankle deep in water as I walk. Got a couple of river crossings, one quite serious one actually. It was over my knees. I was over 6 foot, so on poor old little old Rose, who's only 5'4", it was a little bit hairy for her. It was just on her thighs, but we managed to cross that. And it was interesting that we noticed just a bit further downstream there was 4 or 5 people wandering on this side of the burn, or river I suppose, it depends how you want to look at it. It was a big burn, walking downstream trying to find a place to cross. And Rose and I were just commenting how easy and grateful we are to have trail shoes, because in conditions like this you don't worry about your feet getting wet, they're going to get wet anyway, and within a few minutes you've pump the water out and then you step into more water again. It really isn't as inconvenient as stopping, taking your boots off, tiptoeing across some rocks when you've got no grips whatsoever, and putting your shoes back on the other side. There are so many burns that to have done that today wearing boots just slow you down enormously. And as it was, they were still looking for a crossing place, and we crossed the burn and carried on. So they do have their they're useful points, and particularly when the weather is really cold and you're in danger of sort of hypothermia, stopping, taking your boots off if you've got Crocs or river shoes of some kind, putting those on, rolling your trousers up, sorting all your gear out, getting across, getting the towel out, drying your feet off, taking your shoes off, putting your boots back on, putting your dry socks back on, putting everything away. When the temperature is down and the weather is against you, that is quite a long period of time. Whereas you can probably hear, I'm just yomping through them. We try and avoid the peaty water, only because it just leaves a big residue of muck and mud in your socks and your shoes. But after a day like today, no matter where we are, whether we stay in a hostel or a hotel or a campsite or wild camp, we would wash our socks out, scrub the footbeds, make sure there's no grit, because that can cause blisters or whatever. Now, talking about wild camping, as I say, between the body and halfway along, which is there's two lochans, so that's our halfway point, two small lochans, and we've just passed that, so that's, we consider ourselves halfway. I would say camping spots, what would you say, Rose, between the body and here, nil?
Practically nil. You'd have to be really lucky.
It's just rocks, isn't it?
And we stopped just to have a snack and to put your poles in. We couldn't even put the poles in, could we, to stand up?
No.
So
there's like a lovely slopes going down to the rivers and burns, but as regards any places which would be inviting for to pitch a tent, although it looks lovely, practically it wouldn't be particularly good.
No, there's lots of heather or stone or bog.
Yeah. I wouldn't say, probably not quite as stony as the Larry Grew, but certainly plenty of it, isn't there?
Yeah. No problem with water on this section.
No, absolutely not. Unfortunately, though, the biggest disappointment is the fact, because the cloud is so low and we've had this rain and mist in front of us and behind us, we haven't actually seen the view.
Not. There's some fantastic waterfalls, but you can't see them with any clarity.
No, what a shame, isn't it? Anyway, let's plod on to the hotel and see how we get on and take it from there.
Go.
So we finally made our way to Silgan Hotel and the associated campsite. Unfortunately, they didn't have a room available, which we would have taken. As you can hear, it would have been a drier option. However, the campsite just over the road is fairly well serviced, actually. I mean, the toilets and showers are clean, and the more importantly, the showers are hot. All inclusive with the, I think it's £8 per person we paid. So, not too bad. Again, the ground's a bit boggy and fairly stony, but we are in and hoping that we should be stable tonight. I've got the pegs in as best I can. I think after I last commented the second half of the glen, we were looking out for camping spots, wild camping spots, and there are actually two that we walked straight past which were manicured almost, which would have probably coped with a couple of small tents. But beyond that, the rest of it, obviously under the circumstances with the weather, the rest of it was just really boggy and wet and not ideal camping at all, even in an emergency. You'd have to put up with some pretty miserable conditions. So if you're thinking about that, camping down that glen, then do take that as a warning. But Sarah, the lady in the reception at the hotel, was being very, very welcome, very helpful. She did try and sort us out a room, but unfortunately couldn't. But she made sure the fire was roaring in the lounge. The hotel and the bar, Seamus's bar, are two sort of separate entities, but they have the same menus. And for the same price, you can sit in the hotel and enjoy the meal by a roaring fire, or sit in with all the hoi polloi in the bar. It's again horses for courses. So it's, as it transpires, is bank holiday weekend this weekend, and while we had access to some 4G, there's a couple of antennas up the road, so that makes life a bit easier. We thought we'd just check everything, and lo and behold, the weather forecast tomorrow is a bit of rain, but then 45 mile an hour winds in the evening. So we called the campsite just to make sure they received our parcel, which they had, and they gave us the warning that basically tents tend to disappear off their campsite with 20 mile an hour winds or more. So we're in that bit of a dilemma of, oh, what to do? And he said, well, I very much doubt you'll get any accommodation in Portree. So thankfully, as part of organising all this, I joined a Facebook group, Sky Rooms, and went on there, and lo and behold, there was a list of people on there saying, look, we've got accommodation this weekend, today, tomorrow, or whatever. And I called around a couple, and lo and behold, got a nice little B&B right in the centre of Portree, absolutely perfect for us. So hopefully we will walk tomorrow around to Portree, possibly dump the bags there, go up the road and get the parcel we shipped ahead, and have a dry, warm night. Forecast after that is definitely more of an improvement, but unfortunately still more of the same, dull, overcast, wet, rainy, etc., etc. Which has been a real disappointment, really. It would have been, Skye is well known for its beauty and its landscapes and all these other wonderful vistas. And apart from the first day, we haven't seen any, have we?
No, not very little. It's been pretty misty and low cloud. And interestingly, even the forecast said hazy sunshine, if you're lucky.
However, we will battle on, see how we get on tomorrow night in Portree, and make a decision whether we're going to spend one or two nights on the Trotternish Ridge. We were considering two nights in our timetable because we do have time, but weather conditions and taking other things into consideration, we'll see whether we change that slightly or not, but we'll update you as we go along. So the long and the short of it is, we're tucked in the campsite, it's only 8 o'clock at night, but we've been over, we had a lovely meal, not bad prices actually, considering they've got a monopoly on the area, a few pints of Guinness, and we're now snuggled up in our bags, looking at our Kindles, looking at the map, and settling in for the night. And so on that note, I'll speak to you tomorrow. Certainly the one thing that we've been reminded of lying on a campsite is just how peaceful and enjoyable wild camping is. So for all the negatives of sometimes the weather, the peace and quiet and the sounds of nature by far beat the sound of people who can't control themselves and have to shout every conversation.
This podcast is brought to you by backpackinglight.co.uk, a small UK independent helping you save weight and enjoy outdoor life more.
Good morning. May sound a little bit flat this morning. We're just leaving the Sligahan campsite after another wet night. It had poured all night long. And unfortunately, halfway through the night, suddenly discovered somehow we'd managed to puncture the ground sheet in the tent. And a little pool of water started to gather underneath the sleeping system. And it was a case of, oh, how do I sort this out? I'm too tired. So we just ignored it and carried on.
So I'd put your body bag down.
Oh yeah, put the body bag down on top of it, but ignored it and carried on. There's nothing else you can do, is there, really? No. I'm not going to change the tent at midnight. We've already got lost just trying to get off the campsite. I think that's the path over there. Yeah, that looks like there's an indication of it over there. That way. Across this boggy wet ground. Oh, what more boggy wet ground? I think that's it. There's no other path up there, is there? Oh, there's something else down there, actually. It looks like it should be this way. The Sleggerhorn Hotel is interesting. Reminds me of Dalwhinnie. The people on the TGO will know. The Dalwhinnie Hotel. Very quirky. It's got all sorts of characters in there. And the characters do make a big difference to the welcome and what you can get. And so the Sarah, the girl that helped us last night, was lovely actually. We had, you get the same meals in the hotel as you do in the bar, and the bar was heaving with, oh, smelly walkers. So we went to the hotel side and had exactly the same thing, and a lovely comfortable chair in front of a fire, so that was really nice. And then this morning we went back for breakfast, and they couldn't decide which side they were serving breakfast on, whether it was the hotel side or the bar side. And breakfast was interesting. Rose ordered porridge and it came out less than lukewarm. And I had a bacon roll and it was exactly the same, so I just put up with it. So, yeah, one of those places which has actually got people passing through. They were saying, Sarah was saying last night, they do something like 700 covers a day. So they're servicing a phenomenal amount of people coming through, tourists, boats, bus coaches, campers, walkers, whatever. Interesting times. Anyway, forecast today, all roses across the river. Forecast today is 45 mile an hour winds at about 1 o'clock. Northeasterly, and we are walking in a northwesterly direction, so thankfully it will be behind us, not ahead of us. And as I think I mentioned last night, we managed to find a bed and breakfast, so we're booked in for a B&B to hopefully dry things out and see if I can repair this floor on the inner. And I've just got to cross this stream, and I've just got dry socks sorted. Oh, stuff it. Right, on to the marshy road we go. Okay, so that's about it really, nothing else to report. But 8:30, had breakfast, had a wet night, anticipating another wet and windy day later on, and the forecast for the next few days is more of the same. And the biggest shame of it all is I still haven't seen the Coolin Ridge. So we've been here for 4 days and the weather has been overcast every single day. More later. It's taken us a couple of hours now to get to the roadside along the estuary, across the path.
We did stop and talk to a few people too.
Yeah, well, it's been a nice day. I mean, let's put it another way. It hasn't been raining, has it?
No, it's been quite good. And the path actually was better than I thought. I thought it was going to be really wet and boggy like yesterday, and it was reasonable.
Well, it started off like that as you left the campsite, and then it just
improved,
didn't it? The total distance apparently from the hotel to Portree is 16 kilometres, 10 miles. And we reckon that section was probably about 6 kilometres, something like that. And it's probably taken us about a couple of hours, but we weren't rushing, we're just pottering along really, expecting this wind to suddenly pick up. It's 12 o'clock now and the forecast was 1 o'clock, and it's definitely getting a bit windier, but as you can hear, it isn't anything dramatic. So we're taking the advised route and turned right and following the coast, passing some very nice houses.
Very nice houses, and boats at the side, and my goodness.
Little barbecue huts and raised...
tree houses.
Raised tree house platforms. Yes, it's another side of Skye, I think. But we'd just chatting to a local there who was clearing his drive, and he was saying, yes, as though it's lovely as it is, that the traffic has increased enormously over the last couple of years in Skye, but the midges, he said, they're nasty little blighters, and they have to just head indoors sometimes because they're just so bad. So for every little bit of luxury, there's always something out there to get you. But at the moment, very calm day.
Yeah, not bad at all. Actually taken my waterproof leggings off.
It'll be t-shirts next. Okay, I don't think there's anything else to report, so we're going to plod along the road and hopefully get to Portree and see if we can find some sort of repair kit to repair this ground sheet, get a few other basic things, and try and work out our plan of attack for the next couple of days. Again, the weather forecast at the moment is nothing is improving till Monday, so tomorrow's another dubious day. But it's Scotland, it changes all the time. It's 2:30 now and we're about 2 or 3k from Portree, and bizarrely the sun is shining, but I'm sure you can hear the wind. I think we've been sheltered a bit. It's certainly been pushing us along, but the full force of it is now becoming clear. And you can hear it in the trees and everywhere around us. It's certainly picked it up now. I think the road that we were on was sheltered by a sort of a cliff face, but these trees are getting full blast. But bizarrely, glorious sunshine. Hold on, little Rosie, I've got you. Well, it's early evening now, and we are safely ensconced in the B&B, which is a complete haven. The lady here has been absolutely wonderful and assisted us because we had to go and fetch the parcel from the campsite. The campsite had tents that were flapping about and looking like they were going to be completely flattened within a short period of time. The weather has been horrendous. I mentioned probably last time the glorious sunshine as we came into Portree. Everything looked wonderful, and come, well, 5 o'clock onwards, it's just foul. High winds and heavy rain, and everybody is running for cover. I would say one thing about Skye, there is a certain complacency, I think, really. All the service industries, the pubs, the hotels, the whatever, just know they're going to be bombarded with customers. And there are people running around trying to find accommodation, trying to find food, trying to find a table at the bar. And people will serve them at their own speed. In fact, one couple we were sitting next to in the tea and coffee shop when we had a cup of tea just when we arrived had been waiting 45 minutes for a scone. And when they said that's what they'd been waiting for, and then they had to wait an extra 20 minutes for some jam or something, or some cream, the waitress replied, well, it's Skye and we're busy. And so that seems to sum it up. However, the people that we have spoken to have been lovely, really welcoming and very genuine and very happy to be living here. So if you're visiting Skye during a busy time, then you need to probably reduce your expectations. Anyway, talking about expectations, the other thing is that we've been in contact with Home, everybody down in the Midlands and south of England, who we've been corresponding with, all tell us that it's a super hot bank holiday weekend, blistering heat, everybody expects to be far too warm, and I'm staring out of the window at the moment, to once again low cloud, heavy rain and high winds. It's just not fair. It's just not fair, Rosie.
It's not fair. I wanted to do Sky for ages and now we're here and it's raining.
It is bloody horrible.
Might have guessed, eh? Might have guessed. Ah, look, if you want rain, follow the Cartwrights.
Yeah. So we've decided to stay here a second night because the forecast is still pretty ropey for the next 24 hours. And we have it in good authority that it will be better, but not much better, Monday, Tuesday onwards. So we're going to go for it Monday and keep our fingers crossed. So it'll be an adventure to tell. But unfortunately, we haven't seen the best of Sky. We've just seen low cloud. And on that happy note, oh, and the good news is I think I fixed the leak in the inner tent. I found the hole and I've put a patch on it. So hopefully that will reduce one of our problems. We decided to stay with our host, who we had now renamed the Angel of Portree, at the Hamara Bed and Breakfast for 24 hours, as the weather looked like it was going to improve for Bank Holiday Monday. Now, Portree, as lovely as it is, appears to really struggle to cope with large numbers of visitors, who, like us, have 24 hours in the rain to kill. There's only so many coffees, snacks and gift shops a man can face, and to be honest, there's not that many to choose from. We were told the situation is sometimes made worse when random cruise liners dock in the bay and then, without notice, disgorge up to 1,000 people into this very small town. It's no wonder Skye is making the news for all the wrong reasons about not being able to cope. And sadly, it results in that waitress saying things like, "It's Skye, we're busy." Hope you've enjoyed this series so far, and so please comment on any of the social media and give us some feedback if you get chance. Of course, check out the website, theoutdoorstation.co.uk, for photographs and more information. Now, the next episode will see us complete the trail. However, there is still more drama to come. So until then, folks, bye for now.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To hear or see more from our extensive free library, please visit theoutdoorstation.co.uk.